Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
I want to, again, address these three words, right, run, and wait. And I want to come here from Proverbs 29:18 for just a little more. Because the word says here, where there is no vision, the people perish. This word means they give up, they perish, they cave in, they lose discipline, they get out of the routine, they perish, they give up on the commitment to either the vision or others that they're walking through life with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Nothing holds them together. Nothing holds them to a regimen. Nothing holds them to a plan, a discipline, or a routine, because there is no hope. You have to think about hope being set before you and that giving you the discipline to do what you need to do. Some years ago, I was going for my annual checkup, and my good friend and doctor said, "Hey, Brother Pastor," that's what he calls me. He says, "Hey, Brother Pastor, man, your cholesterol is a little high." I'm like, "What? You know, I'm like too young to be having cholesterol issues. What?" But you're never too young for fried food and grease and yeah. See, that'll mess you up at any age. So he said, "Nothing to be alarmed by." He said, "You just got to change the way you eat." Well, the whole thought of my cholesterol being high, as young as I am, celebrating my 22nd birthday, I was like, "No, this can't happen." And so, you know, all of a sudden now, I'm being sensitive to what I'm eating, and I'm changing what I'm eating. And when I came back for the next 6 month or whatever exam, it shot down by like so many points. I'm like, "What you say?" And that was just the power of eating right. Didn't have to take a pill, didn't have to do anything, just eating right. But me wanting my cholesterol back where it needed to be gave me the discipline to eat like I needed to eat. See, when there's a hope, when there's a vision, when there's something you're wanting to achieve, now all of a sudden you've got the discipline to do what you weren't doing before. Does that make sense to anybody? And so, but when you don't have hope, or you don't have a goal, or you don't have a vision, then there's nothing to discipline you. There's nothing to restrain you. So that's what the word means when it says where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, look at the next part of this statement. He says, "But he that keeps the law," or the word of God, "happy is he." Now, I want to translate two words here. Number one, that word law is the word of God. And then number two, that word happy is actually translated blessed, blessed. And so when we look at the original translation, God is saying, if you keep the word of God, you will be blessed. If you keep the word of God, you will be blessed. And that's what Deuteronomy 8 teaches. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 through 15 teach, that if I keep the word of God, I will be blessed. Well, when you take those two statements and you put them together, where there is no vision, the people lose discipline, they lose commitment, they get off track, they get off of their routine, but he that keeps the word of God is blessed. He's saying that my vision needs to be based on the word of God. I need to have a vision for my life that is based on the word of God, and no matter what happens, I'm going to keep living by the word. I'm going to keep applying the word of God in my life, and if I keep the word of God in my life, blessed I will be. You have to put these two statements together and recognize what Proverbs 29:18 is saying is that the word of God, the Bible, God's word, needs to be the foundation and the source of my vision. That the vision I write for my life really is nothing other than what he has written for my life, where I am establishing my life rooted and grounded in the promise of his word. It is in his word that I'm building my hopes and my vision for my life, for my family, for my future, for my finances. I'm letting his word become the source to my vision. Does that make sense? Now, come over, if you would, to Psalms, the 105th division, Psalms 105. And I want to look at something down in verse 17, Psalms 105. Verse number 17. So, in review, one more time, when God spoke to Habakkuk about vision, he gave him three action words: write, run, and wait. And so as we write vision for our lives, that vision needs to be based on Scripture. In other words, the hope and the vision I have for my future is nothing more than the Word of God. This is what God's Word has said. This is the foundation of my hope. This is where I'm getting my vision for life and the promise of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says that all of the promises of God in Jesus are yea and amen. Church, if you don't establish your vision and hope for life in the Word of God, it will be easy for the enemy and for others to get you off of your hope or to shatter your dreams. We need to have a foundation of our faith that is in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if the foundation of my faith is not in the Word of God, it's not faith at all. We must have God's Word, and I'm going to show you why. Here in Psalms 105, we're going to begin reading in verse number 17, where the Bible is going to give us this example of a man by the name of Joseph. If you want to read the story of Joseph, it's recorded in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, and you can read about how God gave vision to this man by the name of Joseph. Now, Joseph would share the vision. He would speak the vision. And a part of writing our vision is speaking it. Writing the vision does not mean that you write the vision, you know, in a notebook and then hide it between the mattresses in your bed. No, if I'm writing the vision of my life, I'm speaking, I'm communicating, I'm uttering the vision of my life. I am speaking that vision. My conversation and everything coming out of my mouth is in line with what I've written on paper. It's in line with what I have read in His Word. My mouth is writing the vision of my life. You can find the vision of my life by how I communicate and what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph shared with his brothers the vision that God had given him. And this was a prophetic vision that God was going to use Joseph to save the people in a time of famine. And sure enough, God would fill Joseph with wisdom, and he would use wisdom, the wisdom of Joseph, to spare the land during a seven-year famine. Now, when Joseph got this vision and shared it with his brothers, They didn't receive it with open arms. As a matter of fact, they hated him for it. And this is why it's so important that the hopes and the dreams and the vision that we have for our lives be rooted in God's Word. Because if we don't live in line with this Word, then it's easy for others to get us off of track. It's easy for others to get us off of our faith if we don't have the hope of the Word of God. And God has always called His people to live by the hope of His Word. And so watch this in Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. So his vision, when he shared with his brothers, it was rejected. And if you want to know why his brothers rejected his vision, you can read it in Acts 7, verse 9, or write that scripture down in your notes, Acts 7, verse 9. This is what is said of Joseph in Acts 7, verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. So why did Joseph's brothers sell him out? They sold him out because they were envious. You have to recognize, we have to recognize that there are going to be individuals in our lives that when they hear of our hope and they hear of our conviction, or when they hear of your vision for life, not everybody's going to receive your vision, because some will be jealous of your vision, some will be envious of your vision, and some will seek to destroy you because of your vision. And you know, and Mama told us why. Mama told us why. Mama told us this. If you remember, Mama said, misery loves company. How many of your mama told you that? Misery loves company. And there are some folks sometimes in our lives that don't want to see vision come to pass, that don't want to see God glorified in our lives, that don't want to see the impossible made possible, simply because they don't have the hope, they don't have the discipline, they don't have the vision to see the Lord do miraculous things in their lives, and they don't want you to go anywhere because misery loves company. And so Joseph's brothers rejected his vision, and they even said this, they said, do you think we're going to bow down to you? I mean, they saw his vision as a way that he would become superior to them, and he was hated for his vision. Watch this in verse 19. Until the time that his word came. Read that part out loud. Until the time that his word came. See, that my vision needs to be based on the word of God. And I need to know that God's word is going to come to pass in my life, and that to every promise that God has given through Jesus Christ, to every promise that God has made in his word to you and I, there is a time stamp on that promise. In other words, God has already established that word in your future. There's a time stamp in which God will bring every promise he has made to pass. Hallelujah. And I have to know that there's a time for the promise of God to manifest in my life. That's what he told Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2. He said, the vision is for an appointed time. There's a season, there's a time for this word to come to pass in your life. And so it is said of Joseph that until the time that his word came, until the time that his word came, read the rest, the word of the Lord tried him. What does that mean? He was tested by that word. He was tried by that word. He had to hold on to that word when he looked at everything else around him and nothing in his life was lining up with the word, when it looked like not one promise of God would ever come to pass in his life. He had to keep taking God at his word. When they sold him out in that pit, he had to remember the word of the Lord. When they shipped him off to that prison, he had to remember the word of the Lord. When he was serving in the palace, he had to remember the word of the Lord. Through every season, he had to cling to the promise that God had given him until that word came to fruition. And it did. When you read the story of Joseph, that word came to complete fruition. Despite everything that he went through, he went from the pit to the palace, all because of the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when we're in that season of waiting, when we're in that season in between writing vision and seeing that vision come to pass, many times it's in that season that God is working in things in us and out of us. And we have to realize that, okay, there's something that God wants to work in me in this season, and perhaps there's something God wants to work out of me in this season. And so I have to be tested. I have to be tried by this same word. Do I really believe what God has said about me? Do I really believe what God has spoken as it relates to my family, my future, my finances, him being glorified in my life? Do I take God at his word, and can I take him at his word even when it does not look like it's coming to pass in my life? Come over with me to Psalms 130. Let me show you something else. Psalms 130. Church, don't get weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. We have to be faithful and committed to stay steadfast in his word and say, Lord, I'm hoping in your word, and I know my circumstances and my situation does not look like your word is going to come to pass, but I hold on to your word and I won't be moved. Hallelujah. Watch this in Psalms 130, and we'll look at it in verse number 5. I wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Now read the rest. And in his word do I hope. And in his word do I hope. Read that part again. And in his word do I hope. So what's my hope in? What's my expectation in? My hope and my expectation is in the word of the Lord, that he will have what he said. That's the source of my hope. That's the source of my vision. That's the source of my expectation. That the same God that made this promise is the same God that keeps his promise. Psalm 89 and 34, God said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the words that have gone forth out of my lips. He said in Numbers 23:19, I am not a man that I should lie. If I spoke it, I'll make it good. If I said it, I will bring it to pass. He said in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent it to accomplish. Jesus said in John 15:7-8, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. What I have heard from the word of God gives me hope. What I have heard from the word of God sets up my expectation. I know that all will be well with my children. How do I know that? Because the word says in Isaiah 54:13 that my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. So no matter how the enemy comes in and tries to rattle my head when it comes to Christian House for Babies, I'm standing on the vision of Isaiah 54:13. I know our children are taught of the Lord, therefore great shall be the peace of our children. That's my hope. I'm not hoping in I'm being a good daddy. I'm not hoping in the amazing wife and mother that Chrissy is. As amazing as she is and the conviction I have, my hope goes beyond our ability. My hope goes beyond that I had a solid mom and dad and that her parents are rock solid and we have good family. No, my hope goes beyond that. My hope goes to the word of God, that his word has said, great shall be the peace of my children. See, building vision off the word of God is what gives me hope. Steadfast hope, unmovable hope, always abounding hope, can't give up hope, won't give in hope, will never quit hope. I know God will always have what he says, therefore I am standing on his infallible, unadulterated, ever enduring word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail you. So I am writing his word over my life, over my marriage, over our home, over our children, over our future, and all that I set my hands to. Lord, I have hope in your word. Hallelujah. That's why you're a fanatic. Yes, I am. Fanatically saved, fanatically whole, fanatically healthy, fanatically at peace. I like being a fanatic. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, I'll wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. In his word do I hope. Your hope, your vision, your expectation has got to go beyond yourself. It's got to go beyond your circumstances or whatever is going on in the world or the economy. Your hope is in the word. Your hope is in the word. You don't have to move to a big city for God to do something big. His word says, I will bless you in the city and in the field. Hallelujah. All right, he says this in verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I'm in expectation. I'm in preparation for the Lord's word to come to pass in my life. That's the source of my vision. Hallelujah. Now, come back to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Whew, hallelujah. Now, I know some folk may say the word, the word, the word. All that man wants to talk about is the word, the word, the word. You should have read the sign before you came in. I don't know what else to talk about but the word, the word, the word. What you want me to do? Talk about what's going on in the world? What you want me to do? Talk about what's going on in the government? What you want me to do? Talk about what's going on in the streets? Listen, it's discouragement out there. It's darkness out there. It is deception out there. I need something that'll give me hope to rise above what's going on in my community and what's going on in my city or what's going on in this nation. I need something that'll lift me up and cause me to rise above the circumstances and situations that I am facing. I'm living for the glory of God. I'm living that he be glorified in my life despite what might be going on in the world. I can't get hope off Facebook. I ain't knocking Facebook. We on Facebook. I'm just saying. There's a lot of stuff out there that will give me no hope. I don't need to be focused in on it. I'm going to focus in on what gives me hope. And his word gives me hope. All right, watch this in Psalms 37, verse number 7. And when I use the word hope, recognize that's synonymous with vision. Hope and vision are one and the same. This is my hope. This is my vision. What's your foundation? God's promise, God's word. Hallelujah. All right, watch this. Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Translated into Hebrew, get your eyes off folk. I don't know if that's translated into Hebrew or not, but it fits. If you're always looking at what other people are doing and what other people have, you're going to miss what God is wanting to do in you. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Sometimes it looks like people that aren't even honoring the Lord are prospering and doing well, but things are not always as they appear. You can't define wholeness by where you live. You can't define wholeness by what you drive or what kind of food you ate last night. Wholeness is mental, physical, spiritual, yes, financial, but there is more to wholeness than where you hang your head at night. All right? Don't worry about how others may appear who prospers in his way. He says here, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He's saying, get your eyes off of people. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. He says in verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, I know that inherit the earth may seem real big and hard, like what, inherit the earth? Well, let's just stop with the word inherit. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit. If you want to inherit what God's got for you, you got to wait on him and not worry about what's going on around you, what's going on with other people. Come over with me to Psalm 62. Psalms 62. So the vision we write for our life is based on the promise of his word. If you feel like you can't write vision or you can't come up with any vision, man, God's just not giving me a vision, open the Bible. Open the Bible. If you can't find vision, just read Deuteronomy 8. Read Deuteronomy 28. Just look at the promises of God that he has laid up for us in his word and say, okay, this is who God has called me to be. And that's vision right there for your life. Let the word of God be the source of vision. All right, Psalm 62, you there, say amen. And we'll look at it in verse number one. He says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly moved. Read that out loud. I shall not be greatly moved. See, I'm not moving off what I've written. See, when you develop the blueprint for your life from God's word, that I'm going to be who he called me to be. I'm going to live as he's called me to live. I'm going to treat the people the way he's called me to treat them. I am going to expect what he has called me to expect. And I'm clinging to his word as the source of the vision for my life. If I'm rightly writing the word or writing vision, then I'm speaking the word of God, but I'm not just speaking it. I'm not just writing it in a notebook. I'm running with it. Right. To run means there's corresponding action to what I've written. See, if you say you have written a vision for your life, we should be able to look at the way you run and see what you're writing. Your corresponding action, your action should be corresponding to your faith. As a matter of fact, that's what the book of James teaches about faith and works. In James 2:18, the Bible talks about, you know, having faith, but also having corresponding action, which means what word you're standing on, what word you're writing and clinging to, your actions need to be in line with that word. So if you're meditating on victory, you shouldn't act defeated all the time. I look at you and you always talk in defeat. Look at you, you look defeated and you're oppressed and depressed and in a mess and can't rest and passing another test and dealing with all this stress. And then you want to show me your vision and it says victory. I'm having a key sweat moment right now because something just ain't right. Because you have written victory, 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 but you run defeat, defeat, defeat. There's no corresponding action to what you have written. What you write is what you run with. What you have written is what you run with. There's corresponding action. Write, run, and once you've written and you've run, now you patiently wait. You wait on the Lord. You get your stuff together. Your expectation is in Him, but all these things are in alignment in a perfect cycle where write, run, and wait become the story of your life to the point that you should be able to look at any vision you have for your life and say, okay, this at this point right now, I've written this one. This one I've written and I'm running with. This one I've written, I've been running and I've written it and rewritten it and still running, and so I'm waiting. But you should be able to pinpoint your vision and know where you are in any one of those.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, be sure and visit our website at wogm.com. And I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.